Brother Cecil Roach and I were talking just a few minutes ago back in my study about the very famous preacher who died a few years ago, famous all over the world. And who was noted for believing what we call the gospel of God's sovereign redeeming grace. I met him, heard him preach one time, came away disappointed. Written books and books had been written about him. I gave Brother Cecil a tape he preached, a message on tape. And Cecil is kind, and he gets the best he can get out of any message he listens to. He doesn't listen with a critical ear, and I wouldn't have you ever do that. But his comment was something to the effect, why? Why would a man of his stature and knowledge and world fame not sound a clear note? Why not? I don't understand that. I don't understand, Alan, like your situation. You were talking about the pastor that tries to get along with those who believe in grace and those who believe in free will, tries to keep them happy under the same roof, in the same church membership. I don't understand that. I can't put that together. Never have been able to. If it says something in the Word of God, preach it. We have no alternative. And here the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, definite article, the gospel. Not a gospel, not some gospel, any, the, just one. It's the gospel of God. It's the gospel of His grace. It's the gospel concerning His Son. The gospel, which I preach to you, which also you have received. And it's that gospel wherein you stand. It's that gospel by which also you're saved. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's that gospel by which you're saved. If you keep in memory what I preach to you, that this man is so certain of his message, he says, my gospel will save you if you believe it, if you keep it in memory, and you continue in that gospel. It'll save you. It'll save your soul. It'll take you to glory. It'll make you like Christ. My gospel will. I don't have any doubt about it. It'll save you. Unless you believed in vain. That's the only thing that stands in your way if you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, this is the gospel I preached unto you. First of all, that which I also received. It didn't originate with me. I got this gospel. I didn't get it from the Apostle Peter. I got it from Christ, he said. When God called me on the road to Damascus, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. I didn't even go to those who were apostles before me. God revealed the gospel to me. It pleased God to reveal His Son in me. This is the gospel I received. Listen. How that Christ died for our sins. That's my gospel, how that Christ died for our sins. Now watch this. Comma. According to the Scripture. Always according to the Scriptures. Christ died for our sins. According to the Scriptures. According to the Old Testament Scriptures. Everything Christ came to do and everything He did, everything the Father sent Him to accomplish, was prophesied and pictured and typified and declared and promised in that Old Testament. It's according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Everything's according to the Scriptures. This is so vital. He It's according to the Old Testament scripture. And after he arose, he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are already fallen asleep. Some are dead. But most of them remain who saw him after he arose, witnesses of his resurrection. After that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me. I met him. I saw him on the road to Damascus. As one born out of due time. For I'm the least of the apostles. I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not meet. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But I'll tell you this, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. I told you, grace doesn't try to save, it saves. Grace doesn't make us savable, grace saves. Grace doesn't require human help, grace saves. That grace is not in vain. It never is in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. Don't you give me any of the credit, any of the praise, any of the glory. It wasn't I, but the grace of God which was with me, his grace. Therefore, whether it were I or they, from whom did you hear the gospel? It really doesn't matter who preached it, because all of God's servants preach the same gospel. It doesn't matter who you hear, whether it was I you heard and you came to love that gospel, or Peter or James or John or Nathaniel or whomever. It doesn't matter. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach. We all preach the same thing. We all sound the same note. We all magnify the same Redeemer. Here's the title of my message tonight. So we preach and so you believe. So we preach and so you believe. I rejoice. And I want to preach this message in the right attitude. I have to condition my own heart and frame of mind. I want to preach this graciously and lovingly and kindly, because I'm the least of the preachers. I know that. Not worthy to be called a preacher. But I am what I am by the grace of God. But I rejoice to stand in this pulpit every Lord's Day and declare without compromise the salvation's of the Lord. That's my first point. And I don't do it to argue. I'm not arguing with anybody. I'm not debating. I'm not looking for a debate. I'm not looking for an argument. I'm right and I know it. That's what Paul said. He said, if anybody preaches any other gospel than the gospel I preach, let him be accursed. Isn't that what he said? He said, I'll repeat it. I'll say it again. If it's an angel from heaven, let him be cursed. I'm not debating. I'm not arguing. I just know that all things are of God. I got a letter from a young preacher this week. I've heard from him before. But he said, I rejoice that God's raising up young men in your church to fight Arminianism. I beg your pardon. That is not why God's raising these young men up. We're not raised up to fight anybody. We're not fighting anybody. We're preaching the gospel of the grace of God. Ours is not a negative sound. It's a positive sound. Isn't that right? You know, you're not in business fighting anybody, are you? Go forth to fight, you know. Put the gloves on. We're not fighting. We're not arguing or debating. It's just, listen, all things are of God. Let me show you some scripture. Turn first to Romans 11. Romans 11. Listen, Romans 11, 12. And you just take a big ballpoint pen and put them blind under this. Mark this. Romans chapter 11, verse 12. That's the wrong verse. It's Romans, let's see, I got the wrong one. Anyway, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 8. 1 Corinthians 8. And one of you fellas find that when I wanted. All things are of God. 1 Corinthians 8, 6. Listen. But to us, there is but one God, the Father. One God, the Father, of whom are all things,
and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. All things are of God. Now know where it is, Romans 11, 33. Turn over there. Romans 11, verse 33. Now listen, all things are of God. All things in creation, all things in providence, all things in salvation are of God. Romans 11, 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him that it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. All things are of God. All things in creation, in providence, in salvation, and in the eternal kingdom of God, all things are according to the will and the purpose of our God. They said to David, they said, where's your God? Where's your God? Now, we know where our God is. We built these little shrines and temples and groves for our God. Where's your God? David said, our God's in the heaven. And he hath done whatsoever he pleased. Whatsoever the Lord pleased. That did he in heaven and earth and the seas and all deep places. That's our God. Turn with me to Isaiah 46. You young people, turn to these scriptures and look at them. And let this be burned into your minds. Burned into your minds. And someday God will burn it in your heart. In Isaiah 46, verse 9, listen. This is not an impotent God. This is not a frustrated God. This is not a defeated God. This is the almighty, eternal, omnipotent God of heaven and earth. Isaiah 46, 9. Remember the former things of old. I'm God. There's none. There's none else. I'm God. There's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. From ancient times of things that are not even yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand and I'll do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I've spoken it. I'll bring it to pass. I've purposed it, I'll do it. I rejoice to preach that God. Back in my early ministry, and when in 1950, when I heard the gospel, learned the gospel of God's grace, the sovereignty of God, the power of God, the majesty of God, the will of God, the purpose of God, way back yonder, I read a sermon by Charles Spurgeon. The title of it was Salvation Is of the Lord. I thought it was one of the greatest messages I've ever read in my life. I preached it. I read it, I preached it. Well, if it's true back there 42 years ago, it's true now. If it gripped my heart then, it ought to grip my heart now. It doesn't change. Don't take the edge off of it. You take the offense out of the gospel, you lose your gospel. He gave 5 points. He says, salvation is of the Lord. He used Jonah. Jonah was down in the belly of the fish, closed in. He said, the seaweed about his head and the iron bars closed forever in the darkness of the fish's belly with no way of escape, no power to free himself, and no way for anyone else to help him. And he said, I'll turn once again toward your holy temple. And he cried, salvation is of the Lord. It is of the Lord. And Jonah's no more helpless where he was than you and I are where we are by birth and nature, in sin, in darkness, in death. And Spurgeon said, salvation's of the Lord in its planning. God planned it. No human counsel or wisdom entered into the planning of salvation. Salvation was planned and purposed before God made the world. His is an everlasting covenant. Christ is the surety of the everlasting covenant. He's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God chose us in Christ before the world began, from the beginning. God planned it. The end from the beginning. Secondly, salvation's of the Lord in its execution. What do you mean in its execution? Turn with me to Acts 13:29. I'll show you what I mean. Acts 13:29. Here's exactly what I mean by its execution. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. I know men nailed Christ to the cross, but they did what God determined before to be done. Everything they did to him, they did because God ordained it. Now listen to this. Acts 13:29. And when they, the Jews, the Pharisees, the Romans, had fulfilled everything that was written of him, when they had done everything the Scriptures said they'd do, and said everything the Scriptures said they'd say, and thought everything it said they'd think, carried out every evil deed that it said they would, they took him down from that tree, but not till they'd done everything God said they'd do. You see that, Tom? God said they'd do it. God said to do it. That's what I mean. It pleased God to nail him to that cross. Salvation is of the Lord in his planning, in his execution. It's of the Lord in its application. Now, I'll just take Paul for my illustration here, and you put yourself in his place. Paul was in religion. Maybe you are or you aren't. It doesn't matter whether you're in it or out of it. Paul was in religion. He didn't know the gospel. He didn't know God. He didn't know Christ. He was a lost sinner in religion. He was zealous. He was carrying out what he thought he ought to be doing. He was on his road to Damascus to put people out of business that disagreed with him in religion. And God met him. God struck him down. And God revealed Christ to him. And God sent him down to Damascus to a street called Straight, sent him a preacher. And that preacher preached the gospel to him, and God opened his eyes. Paul said, God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me. And that's how God saves every sheep he saves. That's how he saves every sinner he saves. Whether they're on the Damascus Road, or an Ashland Road, or a Barbersville Road, or a Pikeville Road, or wherever they are, whether they're in religion or out of it, whether they're young or whether they're old, whether they're zealous or indifferent, but they're out there wandering around, and Almighty God will cross that path of that sheep somewhere, some way. He might bring you all the way from Australia to hear the gospel sitting right there. Might do it. But it's of the Lord in its application. He'll reveal Christ to the heart when he pleases. And he'll send somebody to preach that gospel. That's just so. And it's of the Lord in its sustaining power. We're kept by the power of God. We don't even keep ourselves. Keep on, keeping on. That's what people say, hold on, holding on or something. There's a sense in which we do cling to Christ, but I tell you, we do because he clings to us. We won't forsake him because he won't forsake us. We love him because he loves us. We're kept by the power of God through faith. And salvation's of the Lord in its completion. Not only in its sustaining power, but in its completion. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, listen to this. Philippians 3:20. Our conversation, our citizenship. Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. God's going to make this creature and you, these creatures out here, like Christ. Well, that's some salvation, isn't it? That's some transformation. That's some translation. That's some conversion. What part are you going to play in it? I tell you, this carcass is getting old and wrinkled, and and dying, and you're going to put it in the ground, it's going to rot. And now who's going to change this thing? The one who planned to change it. The one who paid the price to change it. The one who called me and brought me to want it changed. And the one who kept me in his grace, he's going to perfect it. He's going to finish what he started. It's all of the Lord from Alpha to Omega. How can you think otherwise and retain God in his true glory? All things are of God. Salvation's of the Lord. How can you think otherwise and give God the glory, view man in his true nature, and have any understanding of the magnitude of salvation? Now you think about those three things. God in his glory, man in his helpless, dead state, like that fellow I read about a while ago whose bones could be seen, headed for the grave. Destroyers waiting on it. And salvation, what it means to be lifted from the dunghill to the throne. Now, when you think of God's glory and man's helplessness and the magnitude of this awesome work, you've got to stand back and say, well, salvation's of the Lord. Only God can lift the beggar from the dunghill. Only God. And that's the whole of my message. That's my Calvinism. You see, your predestination, yeah, that's the whole thing. The whole work, the whole of the work, whereby a helpless, lost, corrupt, diseased, dead sinner is lifted from the filthy cesspool and corruption of iniquity and washed and made whole and regenerated, given a new heart and a new life, and made just like Jesus Christ, and seated at the right hand of God in him, that's of the Lord and of him only. That's my message. And anything less than that's not salvation. Anything takes you. You folks from Huntington, you ever seen that bridge that used to be halfway across the Gondock River? It carried some kind of pipes, but I was holding a meeting up there years ago, and I rode down Guyon Avenue or somewhere. I looked over there at that river, and there was a bridge halfway across, and it stopped. And I thought, that's an Armenian bridge, sure as the world. Sure as the world, some free will preacher built that thing. Halfway. I don't want anything to do with that. It's all the way with Christ or perish. My second point, this message got 3 points. My second point is this. I rejoice to stand here every Lord's Day, as many as days as God may give me, and these precious elders do the same thing, and declare unto you that salvation that God planned and executed and applied and sustains and will complete is in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone. If you want to sum up salvation, it's 2 words, Christ Jesus. You turn to Ephesians 1. Let me show you that. Ephesians 1. I'm saying in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I'm saying that he's the vine and we're the branches, and severed from him we have no life. Without him we can do nothing. I'm saying by virtue of our union with Christ, we are accepted, we are loved, we are redeemed, and we'll be glorified solely, completely, because we're in him. And only because we're in him. Not because I made a decision, and not because I joined the church, it's not because I was baptized, not because I preached or gave to support the missionaries, it's because I'm in Christ. That's why I'm saved. Ephesians 1, verse 3, now watch this. In Christ. Let's start with verse 1. And you just put a circle around in and from and of. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Jesus Christ. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's where they are. They're in Christ. According as he chose us, he hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accepted in Jesus Christ. In, verse 7, in whom we have redemption in Jesus Christ, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. My friends, he's the Son of God. You know what God calls me? Beloved, now are we sons of God because of him. He's the heir of all things. You know what God calls us? Joint heirs. He's the king priest. That's right. The only one who ever lived, the king priest. You know what he calls us? Kings and priests. He hath made us kings and priests in him. He's the Lord our righteousness. Isn't that what he's called? That's his name, the Lord our righteousness. If you read the book of Jeremiah, you'll find out that's my name. That's right. Israel shall be called the Lord our righteousness. He died and rose again. You know the prospects for us? We're going to die and rise again in him. He's right now seated at the right hand of God. You know where we are? You got Ephesians open there. Look across the page at Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and he hath raised us up, past tense, and made us sit together, where? In the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. We're already there. We're already there. He's our Savior. He's our life. He's our hope. He's the resurrection and the life. He's our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. All right, the third point. I rejoice to declare the salvation's of the Lord. That message, by God's grace, will never change. In fact, I believe it more strongly now than I did then, or I did yesterday. Secondly, everything that we need, that God requires, that the law demands, that justice demands, is in Christ Jesus. It's met, it's fulfilled, it's so fulfilled that we are already seated with him in the heavens. Now, thirdly, I rejoice to declare from this pulpit every Lord's Day that that salvation, which is of the Lord, which is in Christ Jesus, is only ours by faith. By faith. I tell you, I'm as fearful of fatalism as I am Arminianism. I'm as fearful, I don't think, it's like that servant whose Lord went away and he gave a man 10 talents and one 5 and one 1. And he said, now use it. I'll be back. He came back, and the 10 had gotten 10 others, and the 5 had gotten 5. The one with the 1 said, now, Lord, I knew that you was a strong and determined man, reaping where you didn't sow. Isn't that what he said? Reaping where you didn't sow. In other words, you're so powerful and so strong, you can do this without me. So I hid it in the ground, and here's the one you gave me. He said, you are an unfaithful servant. Take what he's got and give it to the other guy and cast him out. And somebody says, well, I believe God's sovereign. He'll save without any preaching the gospel, any believing. No, that's not true. That's just not true. Not true. Look at Ephesians 1 again, where we were a while ago. It talked about that blessed doctrine of election and sovereignty and predestination. And then verse 13 says this, in whom you also trusted Christ. You talk about everything in Christ, but in him you trusted after you heard
the word of truth, gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believe, when? After you believe, you will see you with that Holy Spirit of promise. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord and believe in thine heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Now, one old writer years ago suggested this. The medicine will heal, but no wound was ever healed by medicine unapplied. No wound was ever healed by medicine unapplied. No thirst was ever quenched by water not drunk. There it is, isn't it, Tom? It has all the properties and power to quench the thirst. I can stand right beside it and die. Isn't that right, Anna? Just die of thirst. But I'll tell you, not this way. Ah, oh, he satisfies. He said, I'm the water of life. Come and drink. The table is spread, come and dine. It doesn't honor Christ to stand back and say, you don't have to hear the gospel. You don't have to believe the gospel. That doesn't honor Christ. He is the gospel. It honors Christ when I see the water and I drink it. No body, no hunger was ever satisfied by food uneaten. And no body was ever warmed by a coat unworn. And no sinner was ever saved by a Savior unreceived and unbelieved. And don't ask God to explain anything to you. It pleased God to make you his people. It pleased God to bruise him. It pleased God to reveal his son in you. And it pleased that same God by the foolishness of preaching. Watch it now. To save them that believe. Right? Oh, I tell you, what is it to confess Christ? What is it to confess Christ? I'm going to give you this. You heard me preach this in a message not long ago, but I'm going to give it to you over. Now listen, you say, someone may say this right now, maybe some young person, or anybody, whomever, some visitor, somebody's been coming for. I said, Brother Man, I believe what you preach tonight. I believe God's on the throne. I wouldn't have him anywhere else. David said, my times are in thy hands. The songwriter said, my God, I want them there. Salvation's of the Lord. Salvation's in Christ. You believe that? But to as many as received him, believed on him, to them gave he the privilege to become sons of God. All right, what is it to receive Christ? What is it to believe Christ? What is it to confess Christ? Could I give you four things? Number one, it's to confess him in your own heart. Lord, and you don't have to, maybe some young person sitting there and say, well, brother man, you're 65, 66 years old. I'm just 12, 13, 14, 15. I don't know all you know. You don't have to know all anybody knows. Somebody said, you believe an Arminian saved? Somebody said, you believe a child can be saved? I believe a person who believes can be saved. Isn't that right? You can't put an age limit on believing. A person may believe at 10 years of age. He may not believe at 100. But age's got nothing to do with it. It's heart. With the heart, man believes. And so here's the first thing. Confess Christ in your heart. Lord, I believe. I do believe. Help my unbelief. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'm sure that you're the Son of God. All right? And go to number two then. That's got to be settled first in your heart. I believe that. Secondly,
Confess him publicly. Confess him publicly. The people over in the book of Acts were baptized. Brother man, will you baptize me? I certainly will. How much do I have to know Christ? How much do I have to believe the gospel? You'll learn a whole lot more. You believe and then you learn. You don't learn and then believe. You believe and then you learn. Take God at his word. Walk in the light he gives you and he'll give you more light. Confess Christ in baptism. Come with us to the Lord's table. Next time we have the Lord's table, come sit with us and confess Christ. I'm not going to hold that bread or wine back from you. Say, who decides when a person can take the bread and the wine? You do. Don't y'all decide as elders? I don't want that business. I'd give it to the wrong one every time because I can't see in here. Would you pass it to a child in a minute? In the blinking of an eye. I'll pass it to anybody who'll reach out and take it. Reach out and touch the Lord. Stretch out your hand. But I can't. It's withered. He tells you to, you can't. You can. You can. Confess him. Quit putting it off. Why would you put it off? What else can I tell you? I've been talking to you all these years. What else can I tell you? It's in Christ. You know that. You know that. You know as well as I know it. You know it better than I know it. Confess him. Well, I might be making a mistake. Well, make it. I've made plenty of them. You'll be making some more, too. But I'll tell you this, you never make a mistake confessing Christ. Nobody ever made a mistake confessing Christ. Thirdly, identify with his church. That's right. Identify. Ruth said, where you go, I go. Your God's my God. Where you lodge, I lodge. Your people are my people. Where you die, I'll die. That's where I'll be buried. Identify with this bunch of folks right here. This is your family. Let everybody know it. It's my family. They're not perfect. Who said they were? If they're perfect, they wouldn't let me in. Wouldn't let you in either, would they? In fact, there'd be a whole lot less of us here tonight. But they're not. But they're perfect in Christ. And I'm glad I'm one of them. Can't wait to get back here next week. And then confess him in your walk. Confess him in your walk. I'm not talking about putting any signs on or walking around hollering, praise the Lord now, and acting a fool. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just going along day by day in godliness and holiness and honesty and truth and integrity and glorifying God in your walk. Work hard. Do your job where you are. Be what you ought to be. Set a good example and you confess Christ. That's right. Anybody asks you what you believe, tell them. But I don't mean you have to go around, you know, blowing a horn. That's the opposite, isn't it? If you're here, somebody will find it out before it's over, sooner or later. That's confessing Christ. That's confessing Christ. Well, so we preach. I'll tell you that same thing next Sunday. You won't come back and hear it again. But that's our message. So we preach salvation of the Lord. It's in Christ. It's by faith. Lord, increase our faith. To him be the glory. All right, Mike, come lead us in a closing hymn.